and welcome to broadcast number 10 in our series of Understanding the Times in Which We Live. Stay tuned for our broadcast. We're going to try to make it plain. We're going to try to make it simple. We left off in our last broadcast in Numbers chapter 22, verse number 35, where God said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak." It's interesting and important to understand that God did not change his mind here and Balaam didn't talk him into something. From this point on, Balaam is going to become God's puppet. God spoke through Balaam's donkey. Now he will speak through Balaam. From this point on in our story, God will speak through Balaam just as he had done with his donkey. Chapter 1 and 28 tells us the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. Now we read, the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. Numbers 23, verse 5. Chapter 23 and 12 we read, and he, Balaam, answered and said, "Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth?" Chapter 23:16 says, "And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth." In chapter 23 and 26 we read, "And all that the Lord speaketh, that I must do." All the fundamental talk coming from Balaam was what God put in his puppet's mouth, and Balaam must have been more embarrassed at that point than he was when God was speaking through his donkey. So Balaam's solution for Balak's problem. In verse 14 we read, "And now behold, I go unto my people. Come thou therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days." The word advertise has been translated counsel 25 times. Balaam says, "I will tell you, King Balak, what you need to do." And so Balaam counseled Balak, and as a result we read in Numbers 31 and 16, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord." Psalm 106:28 tells us, "They joined themselves unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague broke in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed." Now, as a result of Balaam's counsel, the first thing we read here is that they joined. Balaam advised Balak not to fight Israel, but to get Israel to mingle with them. After all, Moab was related to Israel through Lot. Moab was not following the ways of God. However, they were family, and so he says, the new plan is, let's just forget our differences and get together. What was God's reaction to that? Numbers 25:3, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. 25:3 says, "And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined to Baal Peor." Well, the first thing they did was they joined with those they should not have joined with. The second thing they did was they ate, it says. God's people began to feed on what Moab had to offer. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. The Hebrew word translated invention has been translated doings 35 times. They provoked him to anger by their doings. If you study the account carefully, you will find it was the young people in Israel who were duped into the apostasy, and the same thing is happening today as fundamental promoters of apostasy promote the doctrine of Balaam while pastors remain silent and just preach those things, smooth things that won't offend anybody. We are going to lose our young people if we don't wake up. The doctrine of Balaam is still with us today, and it is being promoted by both saved and unsaved fundamentalists. Never in the history of what we call fundamentalism have we been so enticed to compromise the truth of scriptures and join with those who are guilty of spiritual fornication and eat what they have to offer. Well, we read, "Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment Phinehas was the son of Eleazar and grandson of Aaron. His zeal for the Lord inspired a remnant to stand true to the things of the Lord. The remnant not only rushed into the door of the tabernacle to confess the sins of Israel and to plead to God for mercy, they rose up when the majority failed and stood up for the cause of Jesus Christ. God always has a remnant determined to be part of that remnant today. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter warned, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Peter ended his life warning those about those who would follow the way of Balaam. There's several things obvious in this portion of Scripture. Number one, false teachers would be among us. Number two, they would bring in a damnable heresy. The teaching that repentance is not necessary for salvation is a doctrine that will damn a soul to eternity in hell. It is a damnable heresy. Number one, these false teachers would be among us. They're among us today. They would bring in a damnable heresy. Third, Peter warned that the promoters of apostasy would even be denying the Lord. Denying, the Greek word denying has been translated refused in Acts chapter 7, verse number 35, when refused to do what Moses had to say. It says, whom they refused, saying, who may be a ruler and a judge? Today's apostate promoters, both saved and unsaved, are blatantly refusing the Lord's instruction concerning how he wants things done. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. To go against that is a damnable heresy, and that damnable heresy is among us today. Will we wake up before it's too late? Fourth, Peter warned that the damnable heresy would be taught by Christians. He said these apostate promoters would be denying the Lord that bought them. That word, that Greek word, has been translated redeemed three times in the New Testament. They would be denying the Lord that redeemed them. Peter warned that this heresy would bring swift destruction. The word destruction has been translated waste in Matthew 26 and 8 and Mark 14 and 4. And it also says they will have a large following. Verse 2 tells us, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. The word pernicious is the same Greek word translated in verse 1. Many shall follow their ways to destruction. And so this verse is talking about saved leaders teaching people on the way to destruction. And then the other group that we have here are those that follow them. The second group represents the second generation of unsaved victims of the new no repentance prayer for salvation. Peter continued this chapter concerning the judgment they will face, and in verse 13 he tells us, they feast with you while following the way of Balaam. Verse 3 says, their damnation slumbereth not. Jude 1 and 4 warns us, for there are crept in men, crept in unawares, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And these teachers within our own groups are blatantly denying what Jesus said. Let me ask again, are we going to wake up before it is too late? There's two different charges that are leveled against these promoters of apostasy. Number one, they are guilty of turning. To turn is to go in a different direction. It is impossible to turn from one direction without traveling in another direction. The word lasciviousness refers to unbridled desires, and those desires could simply be, I desire to have a large crowd, so I'm going to say whatever I need to say to get a crowd. And if you're going to drop the subject of repentance, that'll help you get a crowd. Nobody wants to get told they need to repent. Let's just avoid that thing. Let's just believe and pray a prayer like the Catholics do. Well, the Bible says that in that case, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's pretty plain. Well, the word lasciviousness refers to unbridled desires, and these promoters of apostasy have their own personal desires, and they turn away from being bridled or controlled by the Lord. They are guilty of turning. Second, they are guilty of denying. We have previously seen that the Greek word denying refers to refusing the Lord's command to have control. In our age of Laodicean fundamentalism, we find the Lord standing outside the door of his church, watching all the activity going on inside, while he is not welcome to join in. It is very important to understand that, like Balaam, apostate promoters of today will not preach a new heresy. They will speak the words of righteousness and truth and will appear to be ministers of light. Like Israel of old, people's hearts will be won through apostate promoters speaking great swelling words, having men's person in admiration, Jude 1 and 16. Then, when he has won the heart of his follower, the apostate preacher will turn, Jude 1 and 4, down an easier road, even denying the Lord that redeemed them, Jude 1 and 4. Like Balaam, at this point, they will promote their doctrines of apostasy, and the people will be deceived, and many, the Bible says, will follow them. God has plainly warned that in the last days there shall come deceivers among his people in increasing numbers. It is time to realize that everyone who calls himself a fundamentalist is not scripturally fundamental. It is time to exercise discernment and sound biblical judgment. Notice, if you would, in that little book of Jude, in verse number 1, he says, Beloved. In verse number 7, he says, But beloved. And then in verse number 20, he says, But ye beloved. Now, Jude, in his warning against apostasy, does not leave us in the dark as to how to handle ourselves in this age of compromise and blatant detection by the leaders of fundamentalism. But he begins verse 1 in a very positive manner, and he ends in verses 24 and 25 in a very positive manner. Verses 17 to 25 gives us the formula for having our churches and our families survive in an age of Laodicean fundamentalism. However, he gets some very positive stuff in here, and I want to conclude this message by reading it to you. Jude chapter 1:17 says, But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye beloved, here we go, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And then he concludes, Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling for the apostasy of our day, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Well, tomorrow we'll continue this series, and understanding the times in which we live in is extremely important. We'll be looking in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 17, which reads, For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? We're looking in 1 Peter 4:17. This verse, when it says judgment must begin, the word means discernment must begin. It's not talking about judgment coming against these faithful people that Peter is writing to. However, it is talking about the fact that they need to have discernment in this age in which we live, and we certainly do need that. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow. We'll be looking at 1 Peter 4:17. We'll try to make it plain, and we will try to make it simple.